He really does need to smarten himself up, particularly in that area.
He actually just went into this nearly Superman mode that was trying to work harder.
If he was to go, it would put us backwards a little bit.
I crawled under that rock in my room by myself, got an ice cream from the shop and watched him golf.
There's no regrets whatsoever from my perspective playing on.
Well, Miss has got a bit of a crush on him. He's actually come around a couple of times. He's getting an invite, but not by me.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
And it's great to have the coach of the Brisbane Lions with us, Chris Fagan, after his first year in charge. He's in the studio and it's great to have him with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Huff.
Great to have you, mate. So what are you doing down in Melbourne?
Oh, it's a busy period down here. I've actually spent the last couple of weeks with our list management and recruiting team just going through our review of the season with them so that they understand what our needs are going forward, and spend a lot of time watching vision with them of the younger players that are in the draft, going to some of the TAC Cup finals and obviously AFL finals, catching up with coaches from other codes and doing a bit of professional development. It's a range of things, and you know, in the next couple of weeks we've got the draft camp and obviously the trade period begins, so figured this was the best place for me to be, and so I'll be down here for the best part of a month.
It is a busy period. You've had a busy year, and you talked about reviewing a year from a talent perspective and a list perspective with your recruiters and those guys and list managers, but have you had a chance to review, sit down and think about the year that was for you after coming from the Hawks and the Deeds before that for so long? You've been involved in footy, but the head coaching position, have you thought about how that's affected your life in the last year?
Yeah, it's a bit of a blur. I mean, I've changed jobs, changed clubs, changed states all at one hit at the ripe old age of 55. You know, you're supposed to be slowing down at this period of time in your life, but it's been a thoroughly enjoyable year. It's good, I guess, to go to a club that's probably struggling and try to help it improve.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of satisfaction out of seeing those little bits and pieces of growth that happen during a football season, particularly with a young group, when you start to see their belief grow. Probably the one word to describe the year would be enjoyable for me, satisfying, and we've got a lot to look forward to.
I remember we spoke after round one when you had your win first up, had 100% strike rate after the first round.
Should have retired then.
We're asking you questions about what was it, what you thought it would be. Now you've gone through a whole season. Is it what you thought it would be? Because you're essentially mentoring Neil Danaher and Alistair Clarkson to a point when you're sort of director of coaching, but then you got put in the hot seat. What was it like?
Yeah, look, I think I was pretty well prepared, but I guess the one thing when you're in, when you are in the hot seat and you feel like that responsibility sits on your shoulder, it's a different thing altogether, and it's relentless. The number of times that you have to speak publicly during a week is quite amazing, with all the team meetings that you do, and then game day interviews and the press conference post-match. A lot of it's just thinking on your feet. You go home post a game, you're pretty worn out. Glad the week's over. Have about half a day off and get going again. So that's probably the bit about it that's different. When you're a footy manager or when you're a head of coaching or when you're an assistant coach, you get a respite from all of that, whereas when you're the senior coach, you don't really. So, I've enjoyed that. It sort of didn't surprise me. I knew that was what was coming, but when you're actually in it, and you feel all that responsibility, the nerves before the game are a little bit more of a higher level than they are if you're a footy manager or whatever, because you feel like, everything rests on your shoulders.
Does it help or is it a hindrance that you've gone up to Brisbane? You played 260 games in Tassie, so they love their AFL. You've lived all your coaching life here in Melbourne, but going up to Brisbane, does it help not having the scrutiny? You know, it's not the highest profile sport up there, or is it a bit of a hindrance for the club that, the glory days from the three premierships was a long time ago?
It's probably a bit of both. I think sometimes you wish you were in that bubble and the players did feel that pressure to perform. And other times with a young group, it's good not to be there. I think Sydney Swans are a great example of a club that's been able to live in that environment and adapt. And I think they've always being good at putting the pressure on internally, and that's what we need to do at Brisbane, raise a level of expectation, get really disappointed when we lose, regardless of the fact that we don't live in a football state and it appears sometimes that no one really cares. We have to do that as a group ourselves.
There was a suggestion through the outside circles of footy that there was a culture issue at Brisbane when you took over. Did you realise that when you got there, or was it not as bad as perhaps was reported from outside the four walls, so they say?
I think things always get a bit exaggerated, but look, one of the first thing I did when I got there was I interviewed every player individually. It took a long time to do, but it was worthwhile. Sort of three key questions: what works well around here, what needs to improve, and if you were the senior coach, what would be the two or three things that you'd concentrate on? And look, the players are great. They identified a lot of things, and there were some real trends there in the way that they trained, in particular, that they wanted to say in their own sort of environment. So we created that particular culture at the club last year. It was my intention anyway. It was sort of like how we operated at Hawthorn. The players are very much involved in what we were trying to do and setting the culture. So we got leading teams involved with Ray McLean and Simon Fletcher. We tried to build our leadership. It was very much player-owned and based. We sort of grew up from there. It was one of the critical things that we had to do during the year, as well as build confidence and belief amongst the players. I think after 6 or 7 years of not very good results, there was definitely a lack of confidence there and probably a bit of pessimism that we had to build the guys back up again, get them to think about growing and improving rather than feeling sad about themselves, yeah. Which we were able to do. And the other thing we needed to bring in was a game plan that we stuck to and believed in and grew as the year went on.
Can I ask you about game plans? We've asked this question to a few of our coaches this year through the journey about whether or not you go in with a plan and you teach that and you make the players mould to it, or you understand the qualities and the talents and the capabilities of your list and you shape the plan around that. What's your philosophy on that?
I think initially when you go in with a group that you don't know all that well, you go in with a game plan that you set. And I think as you get to know your group, then I think you make the adjustments to suit the strengths and weaknesses of that particular group. Yeah. So I think it's really hard until you've seen them play some games and you've gone through half a season to really know what suits them best. So for me, it's have your plan and then adjust as you go along.
Did you do much tweaking?
Not a hell of a lot.
No.
And more of the tweaking came at the suggestion of the players. You know, we'd check in with them and ask them what they thought, what was working for them, what wasn't, and then we'd make the adjustments. It's always better if it comes from them because they buy in and then they try and make it happen out on the oval.
Or make them feel like they've made the idea and you've just created it from behind their flags. That's the way to go.
Well, the key is to ask the right questions, I suppose, and target the right areas. But, you know, one of the great things that working at Hawthorn for a period of years was the number of on-field leaders that were actually had on-field coaches. And the reason why we had those guys, they weren't born that way. They were just asked questions and were involved on an everyday basis on things like game plan and leadership and stuff like that. So if they are, they can tend to activate it better out on the oval.
Talking about on-field leaders, I'm a Hawthorn man. Why are you taking Luke Hodge away from us? And I say us, it's more the area, Ash Burton. His oldest boys are already in the under-10s, showing a lot of promise. Hodgie was doing the sausages that week he got suspended in. It was all set up, folks. You're taking him away.
No, I can understand your grief. look, he hasn't that decision hasn't been fully made yet. He's still working through it. Well, we're obviously with the age of our group. I mean, our list is at the start of last season was a full year younger than the next youngest list in the AFL, which is a massive outlying statistic. And we don't have too many experienced senior players who can coach the boys out on the oval, and that's the best place to learn. And, you know, Luke is probably the best that I've ever seen at doing that. If he decides to come up to Brisbane, it'll be a huge help to us as we're trying to grow and develop as a team, because he can coach them on the field, he can direct them, he can build confidence, he can be hard, he can do all of those things. And, you know, that's the major reason why we're interested. We know that Luke's past his best as a player. He can still play a role, a solid role for the team, but his value as an assistant coach on the field would be unbelievable.
Is it true that the origin of the idea was Adelaide v Hawthorn at the Adelaide Oval when Luke Hodge was mic'd up, mm-hmm. and you may have spoken to your CEO and said, are you watching this game?
No.
Swanee told that yesterday, that story.
Is your, that what you, he said?
That's what
it's
he said.
It's a good
story. Detailing lies.
I didn't need to see that game to understand what Luke Hodge does on the footy field. We always knew at Hawthorn what he did, so I think just the rest of the world found out that night just how good he is.
Yeah, it was amazing audio, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? It was fantastic. It gave a great insight into one of the best leaders we've ever seen.
You've got a lot of good young kids, and I think it's really exciting. I know a lot of Brisbane Lions fans are really excited with the kids you've been able to draft and the ones that you've developed even just in the last 12 months. So what do you do? Do you go and get another 5 picks inside 25 and then complement, say, Luke Hodge and maybe another couple of other senior players? Have you got a clear direction of what you want to do in this period coming up?
Yeah, it's always a bit of both, but our primary focus at the moment is the draft. And while you've got those picks inside the top 20, you've got to make the most of them to build your talent base. And then you have a look at the trade period and see what are other players there that you might be able to complement your list with that can help the younger players come on and develop. So, you know, Luke's a good example of that. But our primary focus at the moment is the draft. That may change next year. Just depends on how good the talent is that we're able to get in and how quickly they are able to come to hand and play at AFL footy. But that was the strategy when we first walked into the place. It's a long-term plan. It's not a short-term fix thing. You know, my job is to help put the Brisbane Lions Footy Club in a better place where we can win more games of football. And hopefully I'm still there to enjoy the success when it comes along. But if I'm not, my job is to make sure that the next person that coaches the team has a great list to work with and can progress the team to where we want to be.
19 past 7 on The Breakfast Club on a Wednesday morning. If you've just tuned in, that is the voice of Chris Fagan, the coach of the Brisbane Lions, in the Inner Sanctum with us. And he's going to hang around after the break. There's plenty going on at the Brisbane Lions. Has been all year long. We're going to find out more from inside the coach's mind on The Breakfast Club.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
23 past 7 on a beautiful Wednesday morning in the best city in the world. And in the Inner Sanctum today, we are at the Brisbane Lions with the coach, Chris Fagan. And Fags, we talked about your first year in charge before. Who surprised you? Who really stood out as one that you had seen play a bit of footy, but you didn't know how good they were in terms of their leadership, but their actual really real performance on field? Anyone stand out for you?
Yeah, I'd probably two blokes, the two Danes, Dane Beams and Dane Zorko. I knew they were good players, but you know how you sort of watch guys from a distance and you don't watch them very often and you think, oh, yeah, they're okay. When you actually watch them every week, see what they can do. They're both fantastic players. Probably Dane Zorko more than Beamsy. I knew Beamsy was a good player at Collingwood, but Zorko had a superstar season, really, and deserved his All-Australian selection. And the thing I didn't realise about him was how good he was defensively. Like, he had, you know, anywhere between 7 and 10 tackles every week, along with his 20 to 30 possessions, and was able to hit the scoreboard. I think he kicked 30-odd goals for the year, which is an outstanding season. And Dane Beams, I mean, if Dane's body can remain sound, which has been his battle for the last couple of years, he's one of the better midfielders in the competition, and we saw that at different stages during the year. I think he polled 17 Brownlow votes and finished 10th in the Brownlow for a team that finished on the bottom and only won 5 games, so that tells you how good he is.
Folks, how did he go with the captaincy?
Oh, look, he grew and grew as a captain. We were particularly pleased that the players voted him in, and the way that he led, and he's really always trying to improve his leadership. They listen to him. He's one of those guys that gets around them, talks to them quietly. He'll go and have a cup of coffee with a player. He takes a lot of initiative himself, and I think he'll grow and get better as a leader, and I think we made a good choice there.
One of the guy he took over from, he superseded this captain, was Tom Rockliffe, and we learned yesterday that he's keen to go to Port Adelaide. Now, my understanding is you spent a fair bit of time with Tom after you got the job at the start of the year to get him back into the club mentally and emotionally to invest in the club. He's a two-time best and fairest. He's an All-Australian. He was a former captain. Are you disappointed that he's on the move, or do you think this was always going to happen?
Tom's been pretty honest from had our exit interviews, and he said to me that he was, as a free agent, he wanted to explore the market.
Yep.
And I think we've all got to grow up. in regards to that. Footy's changed. Players are allowed to do that now. And clubs have always been able to move players on. So we just have to accept that. I was pleased with his honesty, that he told us that he was going to do it. You're a little bit disappointed because a lot of work did go into Tom during the year, but Tom put a lot of work in himself too. I mean, his reputation wasn't probably great this time last year, and him through his hard work over the pre-season and a really positive attitude built that up, and I think we helped him with that as well, putting some structure around the development of leadership at the club. But that's the way it rolls. There's still a bit to play out with that one. I mean, the free agency period opens on Friday. We don't know what Port Adelaide's offer is. We may choose to match it. We can because he's a restricted free agent, so we can match that offer. We don't know what it is. We're in that same position a few years ago at the Hawks with Bud. We're in the position where we could match the offer, and then the 9-year multi-million dollar deal came through and suddenly we weren't in the position to match the offer. So we don't know what that is at this point in time, and we'll just see and make a decision, you know, later in the week, early next week, how that will roll.
How would you describe it? Is it a blow to the club that he wants to go, or are you philosophical where Brisbane is that, we're going to get well compensated the way free agency works, and that it's not a blow? Because I'm interested, a lot of Lions fans are going, we can't afford to lose Tom Rockliffe. He's been so good to us for so long.
Mm. It always feels like that. I mean, it felt like at Hawthorn we couldn't afford to lose Lance Franklin either, but, you know, the next 2 years we're still able to win a flag. So it's not the end of the world, and as you quite rightly point out, you do get a compensation pick if he does go. And that will be a good player for sure, because it'll be somewhere in the top 20, you would imagine, depending on what the offer is from Port Adelaide. So it could be good for Tom, and it could be good for the footy club. And my way of looking at things is glass half full, so we'll move forward with confidence.
David Noble takes over sort of this time of year, and Stephen Canola, I think, is the recruiting manager.
Yeah.
So they're doing a fair bit of work. And some clubs have the senior coach involved in all these discussions and intimately involved. Others just have them on the fringe. What's your status with these discussions this time of year?
I would say I'm heavily involved. This time last year, I didn't actually have the coaching job, so I missed out on the opportunity to have those discussions with our recruiters and list managers. And this year, I've got that opportunity. So I'm not going to be heavy-handed, but I'm incredibly interested in who's out there and who can help us. And we'll obviously be involved in discussions. But those guys, they watch those players numerous times during the season. They've probably been watching them since they were 15 or 16 years of age. They've got a better idea of them than what I have, just watching them in a couple of games and just watching the tape. So fully respect their opinions. It's more that they need to understand the type of players that we need, and they can pick the best ones that fit our needs.
What do you need?
We need to grow our midfield. If you look at Brisbane, probably for the last 5 or 6 years, our contested ball and clearance numbers are down near the bottom of the AFL. You know, during the season, we were one of the more efficient teams going inside 50. When we went in there, we scored. We just didn't go in there enough. And and critical to that is your ability to win the ball, particularly between the arcs, and get it into your forward line and then keep it in there. We asked our young defence to defend too many inside 50s. You know, it was often around 60 a game, and they're only young, and you know, most teams would struggle with that. So that midfield area is critical to us, so we'll have a strong focus on that area. A
couple of blokes just to hit Eric Hipwood on the chest. He's quite exciting,
yeah,
isn't
he? He's an exciting young player, about 202 centimetres, and he
What about his pace?
Yeah,
you know, when they were doing the quickest players from each club. I was surprised he was the quickest at Lions.
Yeah,
with their ratings. Yeah,
yeah, you know, he's an incredible athlete.
Extraordinary.
Jump and take the ball in the air. And we're very lucky to have him at one end and Harris Andrews at the other as the bookends. And, you know, we can build a really strong team around those guys.
Do you feel in 12 months that you've created an excitement about your football club? Because, I mean, we've got to go to the news, unfortunately. We could talk to you for an hour and a half about Brisbane. There's so many exciting, positive things to talk about your footy club. Do you feel that you can attract players now to your club, coaches to your club, because of what you've been able to produce in 12 months?
Yeah, we've been able to re-sign most of our players, which is a real positive. That's been an issue in the past.
Yeah.
I think the players, their belief has grown. Certainly in the second half of the year, every time I went out to the Oval, you could see that they thought that they could win. Now, we didn't do that, but we still managed to win 4 of our last 10 games or something like that, which is as good as we've done for a while. So there's lots of optimism around the club. There's a lot of work still to be done because our list is really young, but we've got some talent there. I just have to keep getting them stronger, fitter, working better together, and I think we've got a lot to look forward to.
Where's the bigger buzz, coaching the Brisbane Lions at the Gabba or the MCG, or coaching Sandy Bay back in the old days? What's the bigger adrenaline kick, Chris?
Oh, well, you know, at the time when I coached Sandy Bay, I was pretty thrilled to be to be the coach of a TFL team. It was my old team as well, but us coaches are in a very fortunate position to be coaching in the AFL and at great grounds like the MCG and the Gabba. And, yeah, I pinch myself every now and then, but just happy to have the opportunity and trying to make the most of it.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job from what we can see at the moment. We wish you the best of luck in the off-season to strengthen the list of the Brisbane Lions, and hopefully 2018 is better again. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks, boys.
That's
Thank
great,
you.
Chris.
Thanks. Chris Fagan, coach of the Brisbane Lions, with us in the Inner Sanctum. A great chat. Hope you enjoyed it. It'll be up on the website if you've just tuned in late, very, very shortly, rsn.net.au. We'll get to a break. Johnny Bowden with all the news, and then Chris Golding from Melbourne United getting ready for their season opener in the NBL.